He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now retranslate that, seeing that I, the Christ, which appear as Jesus, am saying to Peter, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. There must be a realization of the presence of Christ somewhere, beginning in a person. The little cruse of oil has to start to pour. And though we're starting with the foot, this must take place. Maybe starting with the foot is a little inn where the Christ is born in Peter. But something must be done to bring him an awareness that I, Christ, stand here, and Peter, someday you won't be here, only I will be here, and you will know that you and I are one and the same. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every what, every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. As this recognition of Christ's self grows, so does the acceptance of the Christ mind. And as you come into the awareness of the Christ mind, superseding your former sense of a finite, limited mind, you must accept a Christ body. You cannot have a Christ mind and a human body. You cannot have an infinite mind and a finite body. It's impossible. And so you come to that place where you can look out at the universe and say, This is my body. The universe is my body. And not even the visible universe. Everything in this universe is imitating my body. I have an infinite body because I cannot have another. There is only the one infinite mind, the one infinite being, the one infinite body, and there is no other. I do not have a piece of it, a fragment of it. I must begin to respect the integrity of my infinite body. You will stop being concerned about 5'2" when you become aware of your infinite body, and you won't run into the problem of how can I improve my physical body? Because the minute that is the level of where you are aiming, you're denying self again. You cannot accept your immortal self and not accept your immortal, infinite, universal body. You don't have a personal body to take care of. And the miracle of having nothing and yet being able to give everything, as Jesus demonstrated, is the same with your body. The miracle of accepting and living in the knowledge of your infinite body is what takes care of what you have called your personal body. Now, you can read the Bible from cover to cover, and you can read every book of Joel from cover to cover, and you're still going to have to do it yourself. You have to come into that secret place where you, and you alone, without mother, brother, father, or sister, sit down and dwell in the knowledge that my body has no beginning and no ending. My body is everywhere. It is the Spirit of God without beginning and end, the Alpha and the Omega. And because it is the Spirit of God, my body is a perfect body. And the instant you decide that you do not have a perfect body in some way, you are denying the truth of your infinite body, which is the perfect body of God. Again, that's the trap which enables you to deny identity. Oh, I've got an aching back. How strange. When you are the immortal being, and all you're saying is, I'm a mortal with an aching back. How can you expect the power of the immortal spirit to help an aching back when the immortal spirit has no aching back? When you have accepted God, then you accept God's intelligence. You accept God's perfection, and therefore you accept that before any error could occur in this world, God had already eliminated the possibility of such an error to occur. Before any problem could be, God had eliminated the possibility of a problem. Before any imperfection could happen, God had eliminated that possibility. That is your faith in the perfection of God. Not, I believe in God. I believe in the allness of God, the perfection of God, the totality of God, without exception. And your faith, then, is a faith that every quality of God in its fullness is ever present and functioning to maintain a perfect universal self, which you are. As you put on the garment of immortality, you put on the garment of an immortal, infinite body. When Jesus spoke of adultery, he spoke of that spiritual adultery which steps out of the immortal, infinite body into a finite sense of body. And when you are not married to the infinite, you are in spiritual adultery. Now, I have seen that when an individual dwells in contemplation on the infinite body that I am, you will find that regardless of what happens in the world, anywhere, there will be in you an awareness that that cannot be true. The body of the Father is immaculate. The body of the child and the Father are one. There is nothing but my immaculate body everywhere. It is your function to maintain the integrity of that body. If you do, you will find the integrity of your human sense of body will be a perfect shadow of your infinite integrity. Now, we who have not accepted an immortal infinite body will always be accepting our neighbor's afflictions with a twinge of sympathy. But you see, when you do that, You're denying your infinite body. You're saying over there where my neighbor is, there's an imperfection in body. But over there where your neighbor is your infinite body. And so you've got to overcome the personal sense which accepts the affliction. Not only in your own sense of body, but in your sense of your neighbor's body. We haven't been called upon to do this in just these terms. But you find that unless you are doing this, you're at odds with yourself. Affirming an infinite mind and yet a finite body. The moment you left that finite mind, you left the finite body. And if there's any trace of belief in it as being your body, you're still in the finite mind. Now, I think one of the great principles that Jesus taught here about supply, about having meat, about having the bread, about having the wine, even though it was not visible, was that in the nothingness of a human sense of things, infinity pours. And it isn't so much going to get infinity, it's rather you tune into infinity by tuning out infinity. You tune out this world to tune in the other. Tuning out this world is tuning in infinity. But you can't go to infinity and tune it in unless you're willing to tune this out. And as you dwell upon these things, you find that at the time of the birth of Jesus, it was Mary who had lost her sense of a finite body. She had been lifted out of the sense of a personal self, and this was the virgin birth. To live in, to move in, and have your being in God means the complete relinquishing of everything that is finite and everything that you think with a human mind. Now, you must see that we are not ready for resurrection until we have accepted the need for crucifixion of all that is finite. You must see that there's a lot of spade work left to do. We can't say he is risen or I am risen. We have to do the work that must be done. The eternal love of the Father is always where you are, and you cannot be separated from it. If we have faith in that love, then we are willing to get on our material hands and knees and on our spiritual hands and knees and spade away every mortal thought barrier so that the love can shine through a transparent self. And we will find that grace really means that I, being nothing, have become transparent to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shining through my transparent self is grace, love, beauty, peace, harmony, and it matters not about the external war-torn world or inflationary or deflationary world. I am nothing in this world. Not because I declare it, but because I live, I move, I have my being not in another God, but in identity as the Spirit of God, which is infinite, unlocalized. And you begin to test yourself. You see how the declaration means nothing until you can answer the questions in the test. Are you in the 20th century? Forget it then, because the Christ isn't limited to that 20th century this minute. Your infinite body is an all that will be called time now. Are you in an airplane? Forget it, you're not. Your infinite body can never be squeezed into a 747. Your infinite body can never be squeezed into a shape or a size or a time or a place. You must be conscious of your infinite body. You must devote contemplation to the awareness of it and to the perfection of it and to the spiritual law that maintains its perfection. And you will find all of this is the spade work that infiltrates your consciousness as you do it and lifts you 30-fold, 60-fold, and you must come then eventually to the 100-fold realization of self. But never will you do it in the belief that you are in time, in a century, in a place, in a country, even in a hemisphere. You are the Son of Man, nowhere to put your head. When Jesus saw the book of Enoch, he was still a young man. He was in his teens. And there he saw it, the Son of Man. And he thought, I've been wondering, what shall people know me as? And that was his title that he adopted. The importance of it was to show that we must come out of mortality, out of manhood, and the Son of Man becomes the Son of God by the realization of self. Not by an immaculate birth, but by a realization that I, who had a mortal parent, as a mother and a mortal parent, as a father, I never was born that way at all. The form that came forth is the form that I do not accept. The life which is there, expressing as this image called form, is the invisible life that I do accept. And for that which was called my mother and that which was called my father, I do not accept their visible forms. That mental image called form, not being there, it could not give birth. There is no more form for a Mary than there is for a Jesus or there is for a Tom, Dick, or Harry. There is only the one divine image. The illusion of birth is as much an illusion for Mary and Jesus as it is for you and your parents or you and your children. What is there is the invisible consciousness of three people, three souls, the invisible consciousness of the mother, the invisible consciousness of the father, and it is joined by the invisible consciousness of the child to be. And the three produce a new form, an image. But you're looking at three souls combining. Maybe you have discovered the Holy Trinity. Three souls combining to produce this new form. The soul of the unborn child, the soul of the mother, the soul of the father, and they are one soul in spirit. Two souls welcome anew, and a child is born. And that's the Immaculate Conception. Now, when we realize it, even though years have passed as far as human time goes, we are approaching the crucifixion of all that has intervened between that moment to this moment, and erasing the concepts that we have mistakenly accepted. And as they are erased one by one, the light of the soul is coming through, resurrecting us to the reality of being. I and my mother are one. I and my father are one. In the invisible, we find our oneness. And this being in the visible, with the new law of the invisible functioning in our consciousness, is the exaltation of walking through the world, but not of it. Accepting that I am walking in God, moving in God, living in God, the invisible infinite self which I am. This physical form moves within my invisible infinite form. Everywhere this visible physical form goes, my infinite invisible form is. This is the story of Jesus. To give up the visible form, finally, is nothing more than the reflex action of having given it up in the invisible first. The crucifixion that we see is but the outer appearance of that which has transpired over the centuries, finally coming to take place in the visible. And so the principle of a Maundy Thursday of humility, of a Good Friday of crucifixion, of a rising called Easter. So in the events of our lives, there are also these spiritual principles. And the spiritual principle of crucifixion, or losing of personal sense, is that which finally eventuates in the dropping away of the physical form. It's all voluntary. And then the celestial form which we inhabit, which is the infinite self that we are accepting, is that which ascends. We come into the ascension over material ties. Now all of this illumination takes place before the grave. The life of Jesus is only a crash course in what we must do before the grave. And so when we look at his outer crucifixion, when we read about his resurrection and his ascension, we are reading about me today, here, now, what I must be doing to put on the garment of immortality here and now on the earth. Compressed into 3 years, visibly, was a teaching of what my life must consist of in order for me to experience that grace which has meat the world knows not of, which has bread and wine, which has life without end. And all of this must be accepted without adulteration, without second selfing, without a self that wants to leave the priesthood to get married, which is unaware of its Christ self as the only self. Without a second self, a second mind, a second life. The key word will always be, have I denied my identity? When you find you're not denying identity, you might as well start saying goodbye to your friends. You won't be here very long. Whoever reaches the point where he is not identifying as anything but the infinite self in every way is the Christ realized. The purple robe is waiting. The philosopher's stone, the celestial body, the infinite eternal life here and now. We still haven't reached the interval between resurrection and ascension, but we will. I want to leave you today with that word, identity, which shatters the belief that the Spirit of God indwells me, which shatters the belief that I am spirit and physicality, which shatters belief that I am seeking the presence of God. Identity means the presence of God is the only being standing here, and all that is not that presence is not here but appears to be. The only presence here is my being. The only presence where you are is my being. The only presence where anyone is my being. And the name of my being is the only name that I can answer to truthfully without committing spiritual adultery. When you do that, when you deny my being as the only being, you have divided his garment. To you, God is not all. God is not one. God is not the only. And you are still in the shadow of turning. Contemplation, meditation, not communion here on an altar out there, but communion in the heart, within the being. Until being is your name, not becoming. Identity, spirit, complete. The total self with nothing missing ever. This is the path to resurrection. Therefore, the answer to how do we live, move, and have our being in God, the answer is we accept that identity, which is the presence of God, to be the only identity of all who walk the earth. We are sowing to identity, not to the flesh. You will not do it with a busy intellect. And if you stop to think about these things with that intellect, even if you reach the pinnacle of acceptance, you still have to commit it to your consciousness. The mind will not be able to hold truth. It will never hold truth. The best the mind can do is to be a clear crystal of still water, without thought, without concept, without movement, waiting on the Lord. And then you'll find that great moment of equilibrium between everything that moves in this universe. You will be resting as a clear transparency for the word of being. Then you will have meat the world knows not of. You will have wine and water. You will be that which is expressing eternal love. I think we have all been blessed with the priceless opportunity to accept the life of God as our own. And to share this understanding with those in the world who are drawn to us by that measure through which we can demonstrate the presence as the living self of all. is one of the most unexplainable joys there is. You have experienced it whenever you have been able to be useful to someone who is floundering, who is reaching out and could touch the light of your being, and you know what it is. This minimal light that we all have felt up to now is as nothing compared to the fullness that surrounds us, unknown to the limited sense of self. The moment that limited sense of self is crucified, even for an instant, the floodlights are like a blinding experience of Damascus. You realize what infinity is, not as a word, but as an experience. And you know the miracle of infinity stands right outside the limited human consciousness, ever knocking. If we could accept identity now, we would all be accepting the same identity, the infinite self. We would all be accepting the same body, the infinite body. And then we would all be joint heirs in Christ. Not because the Bible said so, but because we know that what it said is so. So I thank all my immortal friends for being here today. Blessings and love. Thank you.